I'm Shirley. I'm the one that sent the emails forward in Merle's letter. I know there are a few people that might like to share something. If there is, we'd like to do it orderly. Please identify yourself and, yes.
I'd like to speak.
Okay. Can you speak from there? Do you need to come up here?
No.
Well, first of all, I think what Rob Arkley needs to check is privilege, because not all of us are rich white males that can overcome the circumstances of life. To get rid of these programs, right? The people who run these programs, that's their job. You're getting rid of their jobs now.
They will still have their jobs.
No, they're overtaxed. They're overworked.
Thank you.
Yay!
I know that. Rocky, are you here? I know you had asked to speak. Rocky? Let's see, is Debbie Brantley here? Oh, here she is.
I'm getting there on the tour. My name's Rocky. I own a business at 25 3rd Street in Eureka behind the co-op. I'm a half a block from the soup kitchen. I've been in that same location for 17 years. 17 years ago, the soup kitchen served lunch. People showed up about 11 to 1. Everybody went away. There was no traffic down in the Old Town area where my business is. And it was since that time, they're there all day. There's 20-some people camped on the sidewalk, one door down from my shop. Every morning, I spend a half an hour picking garbage up out in front of my business, open my business. I've lost most of my female customers due to the language and the type of people that walk up and down the street in front of my shop. The F word seems to be the only word a lot of them know, and that is very offensive to female customers. My business has morphed from a car repair to a four-wheel drive shop because us guys, we really don't care. And so it's been a very trying time in my business. I've been assaulted in my business. My wife has been attacked in my office by people directly from the soup kitchen. I've had two dogs killed by people from the soup kitchen, and I get the guard dogs in my lot, which I would needed to have since the problem has gotten worse. People that can't work and are homeless, I feel sorry for them. There are those who chose this lifestyle. Not everybody has it. You can't put a blanket over everything, but not everybody down there is there due to circumstance other than by their own self-inflicted habits. And so those people, you can't help them. But the people that need help, I'll tell you right now, if you were a single mom with a couple of kids, the old man split, left you with nothing, and you got to feed the kids, you wouldn't go to that soup kitchen. And it is scary. It is a flat, scary place to be. And in contrast, my shop is directly behind the rescue mission. The rescue mission, in 17 years, has never caused me a single problem. They do a wonderful job. This problem is under control. I just rode 5,000 miles across the country, been in 100 cities. You don't ride into one that looks like the way you come into Eureka on a Sunday afternoon. Panhandlers on every corner, garbage on the street. This problem is dealt with. I don't have an answer. I don't claim to have an answer. But this problem isn't dealt with. You come into tourist, you ride into Eureka on a Sunday afternoon, looks like you're riding into a toilet.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm sorry, because I've lived here 58 years. I love this town. I've been in business for over 25 years in this town. And they're like that. And it's a sad state of affairs when you come through this town. You have customers come in with four-wheel drives, motorhomes, and bikes, and they're like, what's wrong with your town? Why is there so many homeless people around here? That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to all of you in this room. It's embarrassing to the homeless people. They need to clean their act up. It wouldn't be a problem. Thanks.
To say, and I should have thought of this sooner, but let's try to limit our comments to just a couple minutes because otherwise we're going to run out of time. Thank you.
Okay, adjust this for short people. I want to say that I believe that virtually every premise that Mr. Arkley has put forward is a false premise, and this is why.
Thank you.
Can we have some modicum of politeness, or is that asking too much? Homelessness started increasing in 1980 as housing and social service cuts increased, and the economy deteriorated largely because of unbridled criminal behavior on the part of banking institutions and bankers. There is no question that poverty is the main factor in homelessness. In 2009, 43.6 million people were in poverty and in the U.S., up from 39.8 million in 2008. The three most commonly cited causes of homelessness for families is lack of affordable housing, poverty, and unemployment. Who are the homeless? 39% are children under 18. 42% of them are under the age of 5. Unaccompanied minors make up 5 to 10% of homeless people. 40% of homeless men are veterans. About 26% have severe mental illnesses, only 5 to 7% of whom require institutionalization. Most can live in a community with appropriate supportive housing options. Roughly 30% of homeless folks suffer from addiction disorders, some because of mental illness. Up to half of homeless women are victims of domestic violence that drove them and their children onto the streets. Children of families in public housing must leave when they turn 18. Many are unprepared for survival in the adult world. Youth from troubled families who have lived in foster homes are more likely to experience homelessness as adults. Successful programs that get homeless off the streets are secondary housing. Successful programs that get homeless off the streets are Section 8 housing vouchers and permanent supportive housing for people living with mental illness and other special needs. This is proven, and they're very successful and cost-effective, saving taxpayer money on costly shelters and hospitalizations. What will guarantee more homeless on the streets is to cut off any existing support services. It's nonsense to say we're being too generous in our help to homeless people. The truth is that what is being offered is grossly inadequate, and that is the major cause of the numbers of homeless people in this area.
So I pushed the microphone up for the taller people.
What's your first name?
And it's Mike. Mike Jones. Thank you very much. And it's nice to see a lot of nice, warm, and friendly faces here. You know, when I was a young boy, about 16 years old, I had a time standard route that encompassed about, it seemed like 2 square miles. Today, you get your paper delivered by some guy in a car or a gal, throwing them out like this, and they wind up somewhere on your lawn or in a tree or wherever else. My goal was to make sure your newspaper got on your front porch. And stillness is wonderful. So I picked up my time standard the other day, and a wonderful lady across the street from me who's lived there the 27 years that I've been in our house, and I'm so glad there's not a 3-minute time limit here, but, you know, every day I take her paper up to the her walkway, and I put it up there, and then I pick my paper up, and the other day I picked up the time standard, this was Tuesday the 17th, and I really do feel for those people that knew this gentleman, James John James. He shot in the forehead with a freaking crossbow.
Shot in the mouth.
In the mouth.
Okay, somewhere in the head.
Yep.
It's not very nice. It's not a nice thing. When I was a kid, we used to board at F Street. Some of my friends here might remember. We'd jump on the Matticus, and which is now today's Matticus, and we'd drive over to LP, and we'd play on the beaches, and we'd light bonfires, and we felt safe. Why in gosh sakes me can they camp out there today? You want to start somewhere with the committee. Ask the committee to ask the California Coastal Commission, is it okay to A, these are quotes, okay? These are quotes from newspaper. They used their money and bought a propane tank. Kind of weird. They sold their underground living space. That went away back, you know, with the boom towards the west. And this one really kills me here. They bought him a cell phone.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this committee needs to take charge if they're going to take charge of anything. We cannot sit back and let, and I'm not going to use the word homeless. I will not use that word. I will use the transients, the people that I cruised by the other morning and saw sleeping off the decks of places in this town that do business, like our good friend who was just up here a few minutes ago. I think it's just incredible. I took a tour of the mission the other day. What a wonderful thing. I know a lot of people will say they don't solve all the problems of the world, but they will help this community. The transients in this town are the people that need to be dealt with. And Shirley's looking at me like my time is up. I have to end.
Personal issue. We do have a homeless problem. I stood in that food line for 3 years, and because of the help that I have received from outreach programs, I am graduating Humboldt State University. We need the community. Yes, I don't know how to go about on fixing the problem. But right here with us being here tonight is a start. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jill McDonald. And, you know, I've given a lot of community talks and speeches, but this is the first time I've ever not been extemporaneous. And I actually wrote something down because it's such an important subject, and I just wanted to be very mindful of what I wanted to say tonight. So, I'm Jill McDonald. I live and work in Eureka, which is my hometown. For three generations, my family has had a variety of businesses located in downtown Eureka. The disintegration of the area over the last 20 years has been disheartening. I moved back to the area 23 years ago and became a founding member of Eureka Main Street. In the early 90s, our mission was to create a vibrant downtown Old Town district that would become a destination for tourists and locals alike. I am very proud to be associated with the progress that Main Street has made throughout the years, partnering with people like the mission. We now have a prosperous downtown business community that is attractive and lively. Unfortunately, that is only part of the story. I don't know how to say it without seeming like I'm judging or labeling, so I really don't want to do that. But along with our successes, has grown a population of people that exist in the area and detract from the amenities of our beautiful city. I don't purport to be an expert on what these individuals' problems may be, mental illness, drug addiction, homelessness, and I'm not sure. What I do know from firsthand experience is that they cause damage to the livability and economy of our community. We are in the lodging industry and daily get complaints about visitors being harassed and even vandalized, but by what I'll call, because I don't want to name anybody either, transient people, and I don't know what to call them. Our businesses are consistently being violated through theft, vandalism, and harassment, and I on numerous occasions have personally been affronted. I think the problem is extremely complicated, and I don't know what the answer is, but I do know that if we can't get these people off the streets and rehabilitated or whatever they need, our community will continue to suffer to the point where many of us will go elsewhere and set up our businesses and raise our families. And I can't believe I'm saying that, having lived here all of my life and having been so involved in this community. But when you get to the point where you feel like you've lost the battle and that nobody who actually could make a difference won't or doesn't care, you start to feel like the effort to live a productive life and contribute back to the community is a futile effort. I understand that this aggressive, again, I don't know what to name it, transient population isn't our only problem, and one could aptly argue that it is a byproduct of bigger issues of an increased drug culture, a decreased job market, and a ripe bureaucratic structure that enables. Tonight is about coming together as a community and admitting that we have a big problem. And that's the first step, and we're all here, hopefully, to admit that, not to judge. But hopefully tonight is also about us coming together, not judging one another, but coming together as a community to work on solutions. Thank you.
My name is Joel. I own a home here in Eureka. I own a ranch in Southern Humboldt, most regrettably. And I've run a business here in town for 40 years dealing with homeless people, mentally ill people, and substance abusers. To my knowledge, I am the senior most certified substance abuse counselor in this area of California or Southern Oregon. We have helped a lot of people at the facility that I deal with, but I'll tell you one thing. There's no way that you can help somebody that doesn't want help. Drug culture that's been superimposed over a law-abiding culture. I don't know of any way to have somebody that is exhibiting immoral behavior and breaking the law get redemption unless they admit they're doing something wrong. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people around here doing something wrong, and many of those people are in key positions. The poor fellow that got shot in the face was characterized in the Time Standard as a mountain man. Modern day mountain man? Really? Seth Kinlan was a mountain man. Jim Bridger were mountain men. They worked for the American Fur Company. They helped settle this country. And sure, by today's standards, they did a lot of things wrong. But they were law-abiding. They did what they needed to do to contribute to the society. Jim Bridger retired, by the way, which he did. He bought a house in Kansas City. Didn't buy it in Eureka. Seth Kinlan lived here in a house. Okay, I appreciate the fact that the guy was homeless. I was not homeless, I was a bum. I was a bum for a number of years. I created a lot of problems for a lot of people. I had severe PTSD. I was also terribly alcoholic. But when the opportunity came to do something about that and someone showed me how to fix those problems, I did. For 40 years I've been clean and sober. Please do not congratulate me for that, because congratulating an alcoholic for being clean and sober is like congratulating a cowboy with hemorrhoids for not riding his horse. I did what I needed to do to overcome the problem I did, and 13 months later, I was fully employed 13 months later, I fell 111 feet out of a redwood tree, and for the next 10 years, I could barely walk. I'm in pain now, like I was then, but I refuse to give up my personal integrity. I refuse to allow other people to tell me that I'm a victim. And that, to me, is what's wrong, is that we've allowed folks to convince other people that they're victims. They're full-fledged human beings. And I believe with all my heart that until such time as you treat them as full-fledged human beings, and by that I mean holding them accountable for their behavior, they're never going to change.
And I believe that there are two perceptions on the homeless issue. One is that the homeless people or the transients are a problem. The other perception is that the homeless issue is a symptom, if you will, of larger systemic issues. Those who would like us to removed from town, that people who are problems fall into the first category. Let us remove them from our town so we don't have to deal with them. The second group are all of the nonprofits and our social services. Those people who, like when an earthquake comes through, go in to help the victims of calamity. So, what are we as a town? The problem is mixed. As the people before me pointed out, there are some individuals who need to be held accountable for their behavior. And at the same time, we need to have the resources to help those who wish to get control of their lives. And many people are in the middle with mental problems and other issues. 153 years ago, the good citizens of Eureka met to decide what was the problem with getting rid of the Indians. The result was a massacre. That also drove all the Chinese out of town and physically put them on barges and drove them out of town. Is that the kind of community we want? Or
can this person speak when the noise is stopped?
I'm sorry.
Throughout this land at the current time, there is a major push by the people who have the upper 1% to focus on the problem of the homeless and the other derelict problems as a direct, distraction, as this is, from the inherent wealth throughout the land. Let us work together to decide what kind of people we want to be as a community. Thank you.
Yeah. Very happy to see so many people turn out for what obviously is a problem in the community. I have been in business in Old Town for 22 years. My business is actually leaving Old Town now. Part of my problem has been the tourists getting turned away and the problems I have outside my doors every day. Now, I didn't hear Mr. Arkley saying we need to stop giving to the homeless. What I heard him say is we need to look at our programs with more scrutiny. I own a restaurant. It's a dinner house. Chicken is $18, filet is $32. I don't go to restaurants like that for myself because I've been fighting so hard to keep my business going. I don't have the money and my employees. This is what I want to say about the programs and the scrutiny, because this is where it lies. Every month, I get a phone call from social services reminding me that all I need to do is sign up and people can use their food stamps in my restaurant. I don't know about that. I mean, I don't go out to dinner because...
Even a working person can't afford the food in your restaurant.
Excuse me?
Even a working person can't afford the food in your restaurant.
But there's some of us that like to have a nice plate to go.
What does that have to do with anything?
Some of us... It has everything to do because it's you 1% you people with everything with these... All this money we want to sit here and dictate...
They work hard for their money.
I would just like to finish.
It's very respectful, please.
Oh.
I am no 1%. I grew up homeless myself in New York City. I built my own way. And right now, I went from having a successful business in the last 5 years to where I don't have zip. And I'm going to be 59 years old, but you know what? My employees have health care. They've always had health care that I have paid. I've given up my own health care to keep their health care.
I'm not
is, this evening is about, let's look at our programs. Let's make programs work for people like Joel who stood up here. Yeah, there are a lot of people out there that need help, and we help them. We all help them. I have given tons of my time and energy to nonprofits and people that need help. You can roll your eyes, but you can't tell us what you've done. All I'm asking is listen to the original message. The programs need scrutiny. People do need help. That's true. But if social services calls me and tells me to accept food stamps for meals, when I have people that come in for a job and I give them a job and they walk out the next day and say, this isn't work for a white person, when I clean excrement, peas, vomit, and people out of the doorways every day, there is a problem. We just want a solution. Thank you very much.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jackie Michelle Miller, and about 6 years ago, my husband and I took part in the Eureka cleanup, which happens every May, and we do trails and we do all kinds of work. And 5 years ago, we went to behind the Bayshore Mall and actually the Palco Marsh area. And it was really very eye-opening and very discouraging. But we worked hard that day and we felt good about the progress that we've made. And this past May, we went back. And let me tell you folks, it is a disaster down there. We were threatened, we were cursed at. One fellow was really pleasant when he waved me and said, thanks for cleaning up my front yard. So it doesn't make you feel good when you go out there and try and better the situation. And what we all want, we shouldn't be angry with each other, you guys. Come on, we all live on this earth. Let's figure it out. Your Board of Supervisors, 4 years ago, I believe now, passed a 10-year plan to end homelessness. What's happening with it? Let's talk about that. You know, because I have a huge idea that if we all sat down, however you feel about it, and tried to work on this together, I think we can do something. So God bless y'all for coming and for caring, and let's see what we can do together.
Hi there, my name is Jean Breslin. I didn't come here to necessarily speak, but I'm impassioned, and my faith or a sense of faith in humanity that we can get together as a community and share our voice touches my heart. I live in a really nice little neighborhood by Henderson Center. Over the last year, we have been inundated by homeless, by tweakers, by what do they call it when people just dump at your house? I don't know. Squatters. The police force, I know more of the names of the police force than I ever care to. My question to you is, at one point, as a single woman, I can't walk down Old Street at one time with my dogs. I used to take my dogs to Samoa, and I can't do that. I can't feel safe in my own community. I don't feel safe leaving my home because there are squatters and tweakers, and they have this sense of entitlement. To what point, I'm asking you, to the point that I don't care what religion you are, how you conduct your life, as long as you don't infringe upon the quality of my life, the quality of my neighborhood, and I'm asking you, how is a small segment of this community allowed to dictate the rest of our lives and this? I want to raise, and I'm proud of this. I've only lived here like 13 years, coming from the Orange County area. I love this area. I embrace this area. I want to become old in this area. I want our voices to be heard, not just the voices of a small majority of our community.
My name is Catherine Donahue. I'm a registered nurse. I've lived in Humboldt County for 36 years. I've worked as a nurse for 36 years. I would like to address just a general question people have been saying here. This is a cause and effect issue, and everybody standing in this room, perhaps some of you, perhaps some of your families, I've helped care for at St. Joseph's Hospital in intensive care unit. Every single one of you in here looks the same in a hospital gown. So I don't really see the difference between people that are the haves and the have-nots. I see them all as human beings. And I know the people that are on the street aren't there by choice. And you can say, well, yeah, they pulled themselves up by their bootstraps, but excuse me, maybe they don't even have any bootstraps. Concerns for their customers being run off. I frequent Old Town. I like Old Town. I go to the restaurants. The people that are there less fortunate than me, they do not run me off, and I really haven't had occasion, but I know some of you have, to have confrontations with them. Those people are angry because they are at the bottom of the heap, and they have nothing, okay? They're not there because they like it. Try living on the street for free for a week and see how much you like it. They're not there because they like it. We need to hire for people that don't have, and I am not excusing poor behavior, but I've seen poor behavior from my patients in people that have money and people that don't have money. We all have places where people, including me probably at times, so it's not about how to get rid of them. Eureka is, and Humboldt County is not a magic place that we can clean all these people out and we'll be Camelot. I travel across the country. I just came back from L.A. in an area where I used to live a long time ago, and I used to take a bus from the Miracle Mile to the ocean in Santa Monica when I was 8 years old, in the dark, and had no problems. I wouldn't let an 8-year-old child do that now in Los Angeles or anywhere in this country. I traveled to San Francisco. I traveled to Washington, D.C. Try Detroit if you want to go somewhere that's really oppressed. And it has to do with jobs. No one has jobs. They've all been outsourced. It has to do with a bigger picture than just Eureka. Eureka is just like everywhere else. You trip over a bunch of people in every city you go to. I've been there. Excuse me. I have been there and seen it. Okay? So the idea is not to get rid of the social services. It's to look at them, expand them where they are needed, and help these people, like the young lady that spoke that's graduating from HSU. If you want to get people off the street, even the nasty ones, you need to give them a helping hand. So,
good evening. My name is John Shelter. You know, this means something to me as it does most of you guys in this room right now. We are in the United States, and every person out there is a human being, whether you live in a house or you live in a tent. For the last 3 years, I've dedicated my life to working with the less fortunate, not the moms and children, but that single person, the single person that's been left behind, the single person that my good friend Brian deals with at the mission so successfully and so well. But what we have to understand, in January, when that other nice young lady said that she went out there last year and she went out to the Palco Marsh and it was beautiful, and then she went out there again this past May. New Directions, as of January 2012, was no longer in the Palco Marsh because the funding that I brought in through the State Coastal Conservancy ran out.
Yeah.
So when we talk about that, it was the homeless population that was back in there. The ones that were sleeping, the ones that were surviving, that came to my aid. I'm just one person. I am not a nonprofit. I am a business owner, so the business owners could understand that this can be done. We had pulled out a little over 200,000 pounds of trash from your coastline. For the last 4 years, we've taking care of the city of Eureka's May Day cleanup, and this Saturday will be another cleanup in the marsh. I get very few community members because the Palco Marsh is supposed to be bad. So it's the homeless population that's helped me pull this trash. Okay. And for 4 years standing,
well, who put 4 years, there?
Hang on, illegal dumps from low-income housing. Actually, I have the stats. For 2 years, I've documented who we had out there. January of 2012, we did a point time count. County work. We had 42 people in the Palco Marsh area. That's all. In this year, in 3 months past, we had over 100. It takes constant monitoring. But the thing that we have been able to do is my program is a learned behavior program, work readiness. It helps the individuals. The first thing I do is go into the camps, and the first thing we do is get the homeless people to help us clean the camps. And that is to start it. The second thing is do is I start looking at them as employment opportunities. Because that's the thing we lack the most is opportunity. So what we do is we give people opportunity. Last year I had 27 people go through my program, 25 of them are housed. This year we have 16 individuals. And I do many of these presentations for many different cities. And each city I go to, I know, John, your programs work in Eureka, but this is Fortuna. This is Arcata. So what I did is I built a work crew that now works for the Harbor District. I have homeless from Fortuna, Arcata, Eureka, and McKinleyville working as a solid team. And if you talk to them, we're doing better work with 13 people out there than they did with this whole CCCs, CDFs, and the correctional facility. Because people are trying to work. I'm not saying every homeless person out there does. I guarantee that, and I would be lying to you guys if I said that. But what I am saying is you need a filtering system. I believe your other speakers were right also. We do need somebody to evaluate our nonprofits, see what they're doing, and get them to coordinate with each other. Because if one person, just me, with my own money, no government grants, no government money, no city money, I'm employing the homeless. And we're making a difference in our community. It can be done, and each one of you guys in this room has the power to do it just like I did. So instead of fighting and seeing who can get the upper hand on who's fighting, we had them outside the door, but I'm still having anger here. Frustration leads to anger that leads to hate. Let's back it down to frustration, and let's really work, like Bob Barkley said, on the solutions. Let's get a committee together. Let's do something.
Real quick, we have about 15 minutes, and then we'll be over the hour mark. And I know that we want to keep this short so people can get home. I don't want to cut anyone off, but I just kind of want to give the timing. I know we have some people over here, but I don't want anyone to feel offended if we run out of time.
Well, I was born in Humboldt County 15 years ago. I can't say there's anything I can personally do for the homeless. Period. But part of the solution is about privacy for people that want to rent. Now, in the 50s and 60s, if somebody had the money to rent a place, it was all done in 15 minutes. And they moved in, and their money meant that they were good to live there. And they paid their rent the subsequent month, no problem. Today, it's different. Rental housing is application for rental housing is a long, drawn-out, tedious process. It's like admission to a hospital. It's criminalized, practically. They want your Social Security number. They're not supposed to have it, according to the legislature's office. So it's practically impossible for someone to get rental housing with dignity. Now, the important thing about this is it has affected negatively the incentive for homeless people. So there was not this homeless problem that everyone's talking about and have their 2 cents worth to add on. The general plan, people are dangerous, affordability. Money is not the only issue. We have to institute privacy for people that want to get out of homelessness. They want to pay their rent and get into rental housing. It has to be possible and available and accessible without them filling out 25 pages with their social security number, all their personal data. It's outrageous.
My name's Bob Holcomb. I live in Fieldbrook. I've been paying taxes since I was a young man. And if the committee can find fraud or waste in any of the systems that serve Eureka, I hope they will do so. However, I'm concerned about the talk of cutting programs to the homeless because I'm aware that 20% of the homeless people in Humboldt County are veterans. They fought to keep us free. For us to turn our backs on them doesn't represent the flag I've saluted for nearly 70 years. We ought not do it. Secondly, if we're talking about cutting back programs, are we talking about cutting back shelter programs for battered women? If those programs weren't funded, they'd be out on the street. That's a hell of a way to achieve gender equality. Take care of it yourself, lady. And finally, when I've heard people talk about the homeless tonight, I've had one vision, and I appreciate and sympathize with business owners that have the atrocity of feces on their doorstep when they go to work in the morning. That should not be tolerated. But I wanted you to be aware of one thing. There are 450 children in Eureka City schools that live in a homeless situation. Do we want to cut their funding? Do we want to cut their future? That's not the community I know and love. Thank you.
For 16 years now. I came in just because we're all here together at this point in time over a specific tragedy. So my concern when I heard about this tragedy was if it had been just an assault, just a sexual assault and a theft, would we have ever heard about this? Where's the outlet for these, you know, potentially small infractions that become very large? Where is the outlet for their voices to be heard? So I thank you all for coming and sharing the time, and I support like a community service of some sort for all voices to be heard equally and with time. Thank
you. Hi everybody, I'm so nervous, so I just wanted to tell you.
Bring the mic down.
Speak up.
Put the mic down.
I'm so proud of us all for being here. And I'm really excited at, you know, the possibilities. Anyways, I'm really here to speak on behalf of someone who could not be here in person, but is here in spirit. And so I'm going to read just a short quote of his, and it pretty much sums up his feelings on the matter. And his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
This is in Matthew, and believe me, I'm not a religious person. I think of myself kind of spiritual, but I do believe in Jesus, and I think he said some really good stuff.
That's right.
Anyway, so it's Matthew 25, and it starts at 31. When the sons of man arrive in the glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit down on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who have been blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the founding of the world. For I became hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I got thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you received me hospitality. Naked, and you clothed me. I felt sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous ones will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you something to drink? And he will reply, I truly say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So I just want to repeat that.
Woo! Amen. Amen.
Hi. I think one thing we could do that would really help is a basic campground. Just put some porta potties, garbage cans, and where people could leave their sleeping bags and be safe. They don't want to walk around town all day carrying all their stuff, but they have to because they're afraid if they get caught in their campground, they'll get an almost $300 fine, or if they haven't paid some before, they'll go to jail. Can you imagine what it'd be like being a kid at school and not knowing when you come home if you're even going to have a toothbrush or change of clothes or a sleeping bag to sleep in that night? That would be awful. But if we had a campground where they just basic, nothing fancy, just where they could walk away from their stuff.
You guys are disrespecting my mom, and I would really appreciate it if you would listen.
Shh. And they take Caltrans from the Caltrans door of the jail and take the young guys out there to help clean up stuff. My son used to get really upset when he saw us throwing people's belongings in the dumpster. And we do have one thing coming up, and that's the day center that Betty Chin is working on, and that will alleviate some of it. But there wouldn't be poop and stuff on your doorsteps that they've been there all night if they had a place to stay. Yes. And in the day, at the day center, they will be able to go potty.
Yeah.
And possibly make a phone call or get a call back about a job. And the clean clothes and the showers really might help them get a job. Thank you.
I don't know how much time that we've got. I'll give it about another 5 to 10 minutes. So if you guys can keep your comments, say, don't repeat it.
I want to get as many people in as we can.
I'll be really quick. I appreciate there are a lot of stakeholders here, and we're all vested in this community, many of us for decades. And families for centuries, perhaps. It's really important. I heard a lot of people challenging one another. And one of the things that I noticed is that before anybody sits down to have a conversation to try and come up with solutions, I think it's really extremely important that people get on the same page and not challenge people about how do you know this, where do your statistics come from, but really learn about the situation of homelessness, because it is something much bigger than we are. And we do have a very difficult situation in this community, but we are not going to disappear it. It won't go away. We have to approach it. And I agree that the idea of a campground or some safe space, like Safe Ground in Sacramento that they've been trying to work for, the idea there is how can someone help themselves if they are constantly accosted, which homeless people are. They can't close their eyes because if they wake up, they might not wake up with shoes or a backpack or whatever they have. It's a very dangerous situation. And I want to encourage you, one, if you have some kind of a committee doing work, that you all get some education around the issue of homelessness, one, and in this community what that means. Because I also heard it said that this is a magnet. Do you realize that the vast majority of people who are homeless here originated in Humboldt County? It's not from the outside like some people think. It's really important that if we're going to deal with something in a really humane, important way, that we do it from the basis of being really well-grounded.
About 20 years now, maybe a little longer than that. And I actually wanted to say a lot about
make it brief with respect for you folks. I'd like to know, this is not the best picture in the world, but do you guys recognize this guy? This guy right here, that's Shane Miller. Does that name ring a bell? His wife and two beautiful little children came to Eureka looking for safety because they were terrorized and beaten in their home. They were not able to find the resources that they needed to stay safe, and they went home and were slaughtered. This man is still wanted, and he's believed to have fled to Mexico. The point is that I think we're not all that far apart on what we're saying. I think we're far apart on the details, but I would really like us all to remember, from the business owner to resident, that you cannot tell why someone is homeless just by looking at them. And there are, when I was homeless, people didn't know that I was homeless. It's not one single community, and it's going to take a multifaceted approach. I agree with everybody that we need to review the services, but tell me how cutting services is not going to cause more crime when crime occurred, because this woman and her two beautiful little children could not already have the services that would have saved their lives. Thank you.
I don't really need to be up here very long, but pretty much what I wanted to say was reconfirming what you said. When you're creating your committees, please think the simple facts that if it doesn't appeal to you, even if you don't care about the homeless here, you might care about the sanitation. So if you keep putting locks in all the bathrooms, feces is going to end up. It's none of your business. If you lock all the trash cans, more trash is going to end up around the place. About, you know, some people you were talking, I heard a point made to say they have mental illnesses. What do you do? Do you just kick someone out from the community and then it's someone else's problem at that point? Then what that community does then comes back here. And another point is, like you say, you can't tell someone's homeless just by looking at them. I mean, people don't come here. I mean, I'm reading in this letter here, it says, you know, it's an attraction for the homeless. I don't see lax prison sentences as a selling point for coming to Humble. I'm just not buying it. This letter here, this hotel, Arthur, dear all. I mean, the bottom line, no one's really said it here, but a lot of people that come here for seasonal work, we all know why. And that's, I mean, they're not homeless, and they're not relying on programs to, like, feed themselves. They're coming here, and they're working, whether you agree with what they're doing or not. But I'll move on. I'm just saying that. Please think of the fact that, you know, you cut these things, that's what's going to happen. The reactionary approach really kind of leaves crap on us all.
That a lot of people are coming from out of the area.
Come toward the mic.
Because it is sort of a go-to place. I've spoken with homeless, and I really hope Benny Chin's center helps out for the ones that really want to get off the street. I've met plenty of people who do not want to get off the street. They're liking this little lifestyle they got going here. I no longer feel safe. I no longer feel safe walking my dog at night. My car's been broken into. I've been approached by, unfortunately, psychotic people. Okay, and I know that medical health funding has dried up. But I also know that the doggone tweakers go mental in 3 years. It changes their brains. They never get better. You're yelling right outside my window. I've been threatened by them before. The overtaxed mental health system cannot accommodate that. I don't even know what to say about the drug program problem. I've gone over to where the showers are, just mingled a little bit to see what it's like, to see what it's like. And I assure you that there are people went off the street, and I assure you it's a center for dealing drugs. And I don't see much appreciation for the services they get, but I do support the Women's Domestic Violence Services. None of that should ever be cut, no matter what. This town's going to hell in a handbasket.
Hi, my name is Robin Quinley. My family settled here in 1849. For the last 61 years, we've had a business in Old Town Eureka on 3rd Street. What I see here is that in the 80s, we lost over 2,000 timber jobs that brought in over $70 million and was circulated here in Humboldt County. We had jobs. That's one of our main problems, is that we don't have jobs. We have no skilled labor force here. We have no apprenticeship programs anymore. We need, in the construction industry, each year there's a shortage of 250,000 jobs. And that's electricians, carpenters, steel workers. Today, I was able to hire a homeless man. He is very qualified for the job. We've been looking for 3 months all over California to hire experienced glazier. This man will need some training, but he has a lot of construction background, and he has a good aptitude, and he presented himself well. He was from the rescue mission. So what I'd like to see is more job training and more jobs.
Jimmy. I was homeless for a little over a year around the Bayshore Mall. Me and my wife, my 21-year-old son were out there. I'm a combat veteran. I couldn't go to the VA center. I could. They would not take my wife and my son. The gentleman I work for now pulled me up out of the dirt, gave me a painting job. Me and my wife, my son, and another married couple are in a house. We all have our own rooms. All the bills are covered. We're all gainfully employed Monday through Friday. John Chelsea, my boss, has got a program. It works. I can't talk about everyone. I'm not going to get into the problems, who's here, why they're here, who's on the streets. I didn't want to be there. I was given a hand up, not a hand out. I took it.
After 70 years, this is what I've realized. We're either going to create a sense of community, or we're going to dump an abattoir where it's going to be the rich are going to be sent to the halls and the all micro barbecue.
Hey, my name is Liza Berlansky. I'm a social work student at HSU. As a child, I grew up sleeping in cars and tents with a mother who had and still has a severe mental illness and a sister who was born with developmental disabilities. The medical costs and inaccessibility of healthcare for them both left us homeless. Supportive programs for people in poverty are what brought the three of us out of our situation and into a permanent house. And today, all three of us are housed, and I'm getting my master's in social work. According to the 2011 point in time survey, 45% of homeless people in Humboldt County are living with a physical disability and or a mental health problem. Being located in a geographically isolated area makes Humboldt County a difficult place for people who are houseless. Reducing programs, which are already very reduced, will only increase the incidence of homelessness in this area, an outcome that nobody wants. Let's work together to support DHHS and other local nonprofits that help us to alleviate homelessness.
This meeting was called on the premise of creating an atmosphere of us and them. And that isn't the situation in this country now. The situation in this country now is that we're seeing the greatest divide between the rich and poor since, guess what year? 1928. What happened the next year? We should be thinking about that. That's something that is affecting all of us. Many, many of us are on, if we lose one paycheck, if we get sick, we become homeless. And we have to realize that. We have to have compassion for the people who are in need. We have to realize that people are not choosing to be unemployed, and that those who are unemployed, those who are underemployed, are not out there gaming the system. They're struggling to get a job and to support their families. And we all need to work together to make this community a better place and a stronger place.
Thank you all for coming. We appreciate it very much. I don't think that anyone is here with a lack of compassion, we've had some wonderful stories up here, people who have been able to help themselves with the help that they've been given, and we all think that's wonderful. The message is not anything other than let's form a committee, let's look into what we can do to solve the problems that are out there. We don't want to cut off anyone who needs help. So if you're interested in joining the committee, please sign up out in the lobby. You've got my email, so you can send me an email, and we'll be in touch.